The Penny Catechism, 370 Fundamental Questions and Answers on the Catholic Faith. This catechism of Christian doctrine has been approved by the archbishops and bishops of England and Wales. A similar one is in use in Ireland. Nil obstat, Johannes M.T. Barton, imprimatur, Georgius L. Craven. An introduction. The acceptance of the Penny Catechism in the U.S. has been so much greater than I had expected when I first introduced it. Since then, it has been selling like hotcakes. The response to this little book has been nothing short of a major happening in my years of publishing. Again, I want to say that many good developments in catechetical training have taken place since the Penny Catechism was first written and introduced into the schools of Ireland and Britain. Some excellent methods which have been introduced in the last generation or so do help the student to understand deeper as he learns. However, I have not been convinced that the rote method has lost its usefulness. As a matter of fact, I believe that this is the only method for the very young. We have evidence of its effectiveness in TV, where it is used in all kinds of programming for children. The fact that the first and second printings of the Penny Catechism were sold in a few months may also prove something. Learning to understand the teachings of the Catholic Church is a lifetime undertaking. We start as very small children in the arms of our mothers. Fathers, too, must play a large role. But it is for the Catholic teacher, wherever possible, to use a more formal method. If understanding and living the faith is a lifetime job for all of us, one cannot expect young children to grasp more than the fundamentals to begin with. They are certainly open, with God's grace, to take hold of the essentials and begin to deepen as they mature. Actually, it is quite natural for children to accept the mysteries of our religion from a very early age. Perhaps one of the fallacies of today's teaching of religion is the oversimplifying, and sometimes giving wrong interpretations in so doing, the very truths which are the basis of the Catholic religion. The teachers of children, parents, and school teachers alike must remember that religion is not a natural science. God, through His grace, plays the important role in getting across the message. It is important that children at a tender age be given the opportunity to graft into their memories the truths of our faith as defined in the Penny Catechism. They certainly will not be expected to understand their depth, but afterwards, as the children grow into maturity, they will be able to recall the clear definitions and begin to see how the exactness of these definitions can be the guide to develop right consciences. The Penny Catechism is also an excellent little reference for adults. One reader suggested that grown Catholics would do well to review this little book at least once a year. This is a wonderful idea, particularly now at a time when there seems to be so much doctrinal confusion. The Penny Catechism is also meant to provoke the grown reader into further reading, which expands and explains the fundamentals of this little book. Brow Books has published Father McGuire's new modern catechism, Know, Love, and Serve, in 5 volumes. Father McGuire, who a generation ago did his well-known catechism, has more than brought the old one up to date. Know, Love, and Serve is completely new, with the very best of modern methods, without in any way watering down the doctrine. Signed, W. Doyle Gilligan. Chapter 1. Faith. Who made you? God made me. Why did God make you? God made me to know Him, love Him, and serve Him in this world, and to be happy with Him forever in the next. To whose image and likeness did God make you? God made me to His own image and likeness. Is this likeness to God in your body or in your soul? This likeness to God is chiefly in my soul. How is your soul like to God? My soul is like to God because it is a spirit and is immortal. What do you mean when you say that your soul is immortal? When I say my soul is immortal, I mean that my soul can never die. Of which must you take most care, of your body or of your soul? I must take most care of my soul, for Christ has said, "What does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and suffer the loss of his own soul?" Matthew chapter 16, verse 26. What must you do to save your soul? To save my soul, I must worship God by faith, hope, and charity. That is, I must believe in Him, I must hope in Him, and I must love Him with my whole heart. What is faith? Faith is a supernatural gift of God, which enables us to believe without doubting whatever God has revealed. Why must you believe whatever God has revealed? I must believe whatever God has revealed because God is the very truth and can neither deceive nor be deceived. How are you to know what God has revealed? I am to know what God has revealed by the testimony, teaching, and authority of the Catholic Church. Who gave the Catholic Church divine authority to teach? Jesus Christ gave the Catholic Church divine authority to teach when He said, "Go and teach all nations." Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. The Apostles' Creed. What are the chief things which God has revealed? The chief things which God has revealed are contained in the Apostles' Creed. Say the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. How is the Apostles' Creed divided? The Apostles' Creed is divided into 12 parts, or articles. First article of the Creed. What is the first article of the Creed? The first article of the Creed is, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. What is God? God is the Supreme Spirit, who alone exists of Himself, and is infinite in all perfections. Why is God called Almighty? God is called Almighty because He can do all things. With God, all things are possible. Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. Why is God called Creator of heaven and earth? God is called Creator of heaven and earth because He made heaven and earth and all things out of nothing by His word. Had God any beginning? God had no beginning. He always was, He is, and He always will be. Where is God? God is everywhere. Does God know and see all things? God knows and sees all things, even our most secret thoughts. Has God any body? God has no body. He is a spirit. Is there only one God? There is only one God. Are there three persons in God? There are three persons in God: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Are these three persons three gods? These three persons are not three gods. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all one and the same God. What is the mystery of the three persons in one God called? The mystery of the three persons in one God is called the mystery of the Blessed Trinity. What do you mean by a mystery? By a mystery, I mean a truth which is above reason, but revealed by God. Is there any likeness to the Blessed Trinity in your soul? There is this likeness to the Blessed Trinity in my soul, that as in one God there are three persons, so in my one soul there are three powers. What are the three powers of your soul? The three powers of my soul are my memory, my understanding, and my will. The second article. What is the second article of the Creed? The second article of the Creed is, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. Who is Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is God the Son, made man for us. Is Jesus Christ truly God? Jesus Christ is truly God. Why is Jesus Christ truly God? Jesus Christ is truly God because he has one and the same nature with God the Father. Was Jesus Christ always God? Jesus Christ was always God, born of the Father from all eternity. Which person of the Blessed Trinity is Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is the second person of the Blessed Trinity. Is Jesus Christ truly man? Jesus Christ is truly man. Why is Jesus Christ truly man? Jesus Christ is truly man because he has the nature of man, having a body and soul like ours. Was Jesus Christ always man? Jesus Christ was not always man. He has been man only from the time of his incarnation. What do you mean by the incarnation? I mean by the incarnation that God the Son took to himself the nature of man. The Word was made flesh. John chapter 1, verse 14. How many natures are there in Jesus Christ? There are two natures in Jesus Christ, the nature of God and the nature of man. Is there only one person in Jesus Christ? There is only one person in Jesus Christ, which is the person of God the Son. Why was God the Son made man? God the Son was made man to redeem us from sin and hell, and to teach us the way to heaven. What does the holy name Jesus mean? The holy name Jesus means Savior. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. What does the name Christ mean? The name Christ means anointed. Where is Jesus Christ? As God, Jesus Christ is everywhere. As God made man, he is in heaven and in the Blessed Sacrament on the altar. The third article. What is the third article of the Creed? The third article of the Creed is, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. What does the third article mean? The third article means that God the Son took a body and soul like ours in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary by the power of the Holy Spirit. Had Jesus Christ any father on earth? Jesus Christ had no father on earth. Saint Joseph was only his guardian or foster father. Where was our Savior born? Our Savior was born in a stable at Bethlehem. On what day was our Savior born? Our Savior was born on Christmas Day. The fourth article. What is the fourth article of the Creed? The fourth article of the Creed is, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. What were the chief sufferings of Christ? The chief sufferings of Christ were, first, his agony and his sweat of blood in the garden. Secondly, his being scourged at the pillar and crowned with thorns. And thirdly, his carrying his cross, his crucifixion, and his death between two thieves. What are the chief sufferings of our Lord called? the chief sufferings of our Lord are called the Passion of Jesus Christ. Why did our Savior suffer? Our Savior suffered to atone for our sins and to purchase for us eternal life. Why is Jesus Christ called our Redeemer? Jesus Christ is called our Redeemer because His precious blood is the price by which we were ransomed. On what day did our Savior die? Our Savior died on Good Friday. Where did our Savior die? Our Savior died on Mount Calvary. Why do we make the sign of the cross? We make the sign of the cross, first, to put us in mind of the Blessed Trinity, and secondly, to remind us that God the Son died for us on the cross. In making the sign of the cross, how are we reminded of the Blessed Trinity? In making the sign of the cross, we are reminded of the Blessed Trinity by the words, "In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." In making the sign of the cross, how are we reminded that Christ died for us on the cross? In making the sign of the cross, we are reminded that Christ died for us on the cross by the very form of the cross which we make upon ourselves. The fifth article. What is the fifth article of the Creed? The fifth article of the Creed is, He descended into hell, the third day He rose again from the dead. What do you mean by the words, He descended into hell? By the words, He descended into hell, I mean that as soon as Christ was dead, His blessed soul went down into that part of hell called limbo. What do you mean by limbo? By limbo, I mean a place of rest where the souls of the just who died before Christ were detained. Why were the souls of the just detained in limbo? The souls of the just were detained in limbo because they could not go up to the kingdom of heaven till Christ had opened it for them. What do you mean by the words, "The third day He rose again from the dead"? By the words, "the third day He rose again from the dead," I mean that after Christ had been dead and buried part of 3 days, He raised His blessed body to life again on the third day. On what day did Christ rise again from the dead? Christ rose again from the dead on Easter Sunday. The sixth article. What is the sixth article of the Creed? The sixth article of the Creed is, He ascended into heaven, sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. What do you mean by the words, He ascended into heaven? By the words, He ascended into heaven, I mean that our Savior went up body and soul into heaven on Ascension Day, 40 days after His resurrection. What do you mean by the words, sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty? By the words, sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, I do not mean that God the Father has hands, for He is a spirit, but I mean that Christ, as God, is equal to the Father, and as man, is in the highest place in heaven. The seventh article. What is the seventh article of the Creed? The seventh article of the Creed is, From thence He shall come to judge the living and the dead. When will Christ come again? Christ will come again from heaven at the last day to judge all mankind. What are the things Christ will judge? Christ will judge our thoughts, words, works, and omissions. What will Christ say to the wicked? Christ will say to the wicked, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, which was prepared for the devil and his angels. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. What will Christ say to the just? Christ will say to the just, Come, you blessed of my Father, possess you the kingdom prepared for you. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. Will everyone be judged at death as well as at the last day? Everyone will be judged at death, as well as at the last day. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. The Eighth Article. What is the Eighth Article of the Creed? The Eighth Article of the Creed is, I believe in the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Blessed Trinity. From whom does the Holy Spirit proceed? The Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. Is the Holy Spirit equal to the Father and to the Son? The Holy Spirit is equal to the Father and to the Son, for He is the same Lord and God as they are. When did the Holy Spirit come down on the apostles? The Holy Spirit came down on the apostles on Pentecost, in the form of parted tongues, as it were, of fire. Acts chapter 2, verse 3. Why did the Holy Spirit come down on the apostles? The Holy Spirit came down on the apostles to confirm their faith, to sanctify them, and to enable them to found the church. The Ninth Article. What is the Ninth Article of the Creed? The Ninth Article of the Creed is the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints. What is the Catholic Church? The Catholic Church is the union of all the faithful under one head. Who is the head of the Catholic Church? The head of the Catholic Church is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Has the Church a visible head on earth? The Church has a visible head on earth, the Bishop of Rome, who is the Vicar of Christ. Why is the Bishop of Rome the head of the Church? The Bishop of Rome is the head of the Church because he is the successor of Saint Peter, whom Christ appointed to be head of the Church. How do you know that Christ appointed Saint Peter to be the head of the Church? I know that Christ appointed Saint Peter to be the head of the Church because Christ said to him, "You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And to you I will give the keys of the kingdom of heaven." Matthew chapter 16, verses 18 and 19. What is the Bishop of Rome called? The Bishop of Rome is called the Pope, which word signifies Father. Is the Pope the spiritual father of all Christians? The Pope is the spiritual father of all Christians. Is the Pope the shepherd and teacher of all Christians? The Pope is the shepherd and teacher of all Christians because Christ made Saint Peter the shepherd of the whole flock when he said, "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep." He also prayed that his faith might never fail and commanded him to confirm his brethren. John chapter 21, verses 15 to 17, and Luke chapter 22, verse 32. Is the Pope infallible? The Pope is infallible. What do you mean when you say that the Pope is infallible? When I say that the Pope is infallible, I mean that the Pope cannot err when, as shepherd and teacher of all Christians, he finds a doctrine concerning faith or morals to be held by the whole Church. Has the Church of Christ any marks by which we may know her? The Church of Christ has four marks by which we may know her. She is one, she is holy, she is Catholic, she is apostolic. How is the Church one? The Church is one because all her members agree in one faith, have all the same sacrifice and sacraments, and are all united under one head. How is the Church holy? The Church is holy because she teaches a holy doctrine, offers to all the means of holiness, and is distinguished by the eminent holiness of so many thousands of her children. What does the word Catholic mean? The word Catholic means universal. How is the Church Catholic or universal? The Church is Catholic or universal because she subsists in all ages, teaches all nations, and is the one ark of salvation for all. How is the Church apostolic? The Church is apostolic because she holds the doctrines and traditions of the apostles, and because, through the unbroken succession of her pastors, she derives her orders and her mission from them. Can the Church err in what she teaches? The Church cannot err in what she teaches as to faith or morals, for she is our infallible guide in both. How do you know that the Church cannot err in what she teaches? I know that the Church cannot err in what she teaches because Christ promised that the gates of hell shall never prevail against his Church, that the Holy Spirit shall teach her all things, and that he himself will be with her all days, even to the consummation of the world. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, John chapter 14, verses 16 to 26, and Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. What do you mean by the communion of saints? By the communion of saints, I mean that all the members of the Church, in heaven, on earth, and in purgatory, are in communion with each other as being one body in Jesus Christ. How are the faithful on earth in communion with each other? The faithful on earth are in communion with each other by profession of the same faith, obeying the same authority, and assisting each other with their prayers and good works. How are we in communion with the saints in heaven? We are in communion with the saints in heaven by honoring them as the glorified members of the Church, and also by our praying to them and by their praying for us. How are we in communion with the souls in purgatory? We are in communion with the souls in purgatory by helping them with our prayers and good works. It is a holy and wholesome thought to pray for the dead, that they may be loosed from sins. 2 Maccabees, chapter 12, verse 46. What is purgatory? Purgatory is a place where souls suffer for a time after death on account of their sins. What souls go to purgatory? Those souls go to purgatory that depart this life in venial sin, or that have not fully paid the debt of temporal punishment due to those sins of which the guilt has been forgiven. What is temporal punishment? Temporal punishment is punishment which will have an end, either in this world or in the world to come. How do you prove that there is a purgatory? I prove that there is a purgatory from the constant teaching of the Church and from the doctrine of Holy Scripture, which declares that God will render to every man according to his works, that nothing defiled shall enter heaven, and that some will be saved yet so as by fire. Matthew chapter 16, verse 27, Apocalypse chapter 21, verse 27, and 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15. What is the 10th article of the Creed? The 10th article of the Creed is the forgiveness of sins. What do you mean by the forgiveness of sins? By the forgiveness of sins, I mean that Christ has left the power of forgiving sins to the pastors of his Church. John chapter 20, verse 23. By what means are sins forgiven? Sins are forgiven principally by the sacrament of baptism and penance. What is sin? Sin is an offense against God by any thought, word, deed, or omission against the law of God. How many kinds of sin are there? There are two kinds of sin, original sin and actual sin. What is original sin? Original sin is that guilt and stain of sin which we inherit from Adam, who was the origin and head of all mankind. What was the sin committed by Adam? The sin committed by Adam was the sin of disobedience when he ate the forbidden fruit. Has all mankind contracted the guilt and stain of original sin? All mankind has contracted the guilt and stain of original sin, except the Blessed Virgin, who through the merits of her divine Son was conceived without the least guilt or stain of original sin. What is this privilege of the Blessed Virgin called? This privilege of the Blessed Virgin is called the Immaculate Conception. What is actual sin? Actual sin is every sin which we ourselves commit. How is actual sin divided? Actual sin is divided into mortal sin and venial sin. What is mortal sin? Mortal sin is a grievous offense against God. Why is it called mortal sin? It is called mortal sin because it kills the soul and deserves hell. How does mortal sin kill the soul? Mortal sin kills the soul by depriving it of sanctifying grace, which is the supernatural life of the soul. Is it a great evil to fall into mortal sin? It is the greatest of all evils to fall into mortal sin. Where will they go who die in mortal sin? They who die in mortal sin will go to hell for all eternity. What is venial sin? Venial sin is an offense which does not kill the soul, yet displeases God and often leads to mortal sin. Why is it called venial sin? It is called venial sin because it is more easily pardoned than mortal sin. What is the 11th article of the Creed? The 11th article of the Creed is the resurrection of the body. What do you mean by the resurrection of the body? By the resurrection of the body, I mean that we shall all rise again with the same bodies at the day of judgment. The 12th article. What is the 12th article of the Creed? The 12th article of the Creed is life everlasting. What does life everlasting mean? Life everlasting means that the good shall live forever in the glory and happiness of heaven. What is the glory and happiness of heaven? The glory and happiness of heaven is to see, love, and enjoy God forever. What does the Scripture say of the happiness of heaven? The Scripture says of the happiness of heaven that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what things God has prepared for them that love him. Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Shall not the wicked also live forever? The wicked also shall live and be punished forever in the fire of hell. Chapter 3. Hope. Will faith alone save us? Faith alone will not save us without good works. We must also have hope and charity. What is hope? Hope is a supernatural gift of God by which we firmly trust that God will give us eternal life and all the means necessary to obtain it, if we do what he requires of us. Why must we hope in God? We must hope in God because he is infinitely good, infinitely powerful, and faithful to his promises. Can we do any good work of ourselves toward our salvation? We can do no good work of ourselves towards our salvation. We need the help of God's graces. What is grace? Grace is a supernatural gift of God, freely bestowed upon us for our sanctification and salvation. How must we obtain God's grace? We must obtain God's grace chiefly by prayer and the holy sacraments. Prayer. What is prayer? Prayer is the raising up of the mind and heart to God. How do we raise up our mind and heart to God? We raise up our mind and heart to God by thinking of God, by adoring, praising, and thanking Him, and by begging of Him all blessings for soul and body. Do those pray well who at their prayers think neither of God nor of what they say? Those who at their prayers think neither of God nor of what they say do not pray well, but they offend God if their distractions are willful. Which is the best of all prayers? The best of all prayers is the Our Father, or the Lord's Prayer. Who made the Lord's Prayer? Jesus Christ Himself made the Lord's Prayer. Say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. In the Lord's Prayer, who is called Our Father? In the Lord's Prayer, God is called our Father. Why is God called our Father? God is called our Father because He is the Father of all Christians, whom He has made His children by holy baptism. Is God also the Father of all mankind? God is also the Father of all mankind because He made them all and loves and preserves them all. Why do we say, Our Father, and not My Father? We say, Our Father, and not My Father, because being all brethren, we are to pray not for ourselves only, but also for all others. When we say, Hallowed be thy name, what do we pray for? When we say, Hallowed be thy name, we pray that God may be known, loved, and served by all His creatures. When we say, Thy kingdom come, what do we pray for? When we say, Thy kingdom come, we pray that God may come and reign in the hearts of all by His grace in this world and bring us all hereafter to His heavenly kingdom. When we say, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, what do we pray for? When we say, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we pray that God may enable us, by His grace, to do His will in all things, as the blessed do in heaven. When we say, Give us this day our daily bread, what do we pray for? When we say, Give us this day our daily bread, we pray that God may give us daily all that is necessary for soul and body. When we say, Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, what do we pray for? When we say, Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, we pray that God may forgive us our sins, as we forgive others the injuries they do to us. When we say, Lead us not into temptation, what do we pray for? When we say, Lead us not into temptation, we pray that God may give us grace not to yield to temptation. When we say, Deliver us from evil, what do we pray for? When we say, Deliver us from evil, we pray that God may free us from all evil, both of soul and body. Should we ask the angels and saints to pray for us? We should ask the angels and saints to pray for us, because they are our friends and brethren, and because their prayers have great power with God. How can we show that the angels and saints know what passes on earth? We can show that the angels and saints know what passes on earth from the words of Christ. There shall be joy before the angels of God upon one sinner doing penance. Luke chapter 15, verse 10. What is the chief prayer to the Blessed Virgin, which the Church uses? The chief prayer to the Blessed Virgin, which the Church uses, is the Hail Mary. Say the Hail Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Who made the first part of the Hail Mary? The angel Gabriel and Saint Elizabeth, inspired by the Holy Spirit, made the first part of the Hail Mary. Who made the second part of the Hail Mary? The Church of God, guided by the Holy Spirit, made the second part of the Hail Mary. Why should we frequently say the Hail Mary? We should frequently say the Hail Mary to put us in mind of the incarnation of the Son of God and to honor our Blessed Lady, the Mother of God. Have we another reason for often saying the Hail Mary? We have another reason for often saying the Hail Mary, to ask our Blessed Lady to pray for us sinners at all times, but especially at the hour of our death. Why does the Catholic Church show great devotion to the Blessed Virgin? The Catholic Church shows great devotion to the Blessed Virgin because she is the Immaculate Mother of God. How is the Blessed Virgin Mother of God? The Blessed Virgin is Mother of God because Jesus Christ, her Son, who was born of her as man, is not only man, but is also truly God. Is the Blessed Virgin our Mother also? The Blessed Virgin is our Mother also, because being the brethren of Jesus, we are the children of Mary. We will continue with the Penny Catechism, Questions and Answers on the Catholic Faith, on Side B of this tape.